Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, first, I want to get to the guy who threw a package of Oreos, because I'm going to be like, how you doing Oreos like that? They're delicious. But a man did it, and he got mad at his wife over an empty coffee pot. They were arguing over their coffee maker, and 70-year-old John Sandoval threw a package of Oreos at his wife, and I don't know, they've been married for over 40 years, and so, okay, it said that he became aggressive and threw the package at her, and it hit her in the chest, and it caused her to fall. And then, then he did try to choke her out. So, okay, that was, but it said her airways weren't restricted. I was like, if she just threw the Oreos at her and then she called the police, it's kind of, I don't know. But apparently the police said that they didn't observe any obvious injuries, but he admitted, he said he didn't have any recollection of strangling her, but they charged him with felony domestic battery just on the instance of the Oreo throwing alone. That seems like a lot, just going to say. That seems just, a little bit, I don't know. A Florida man was shot dead after climbing into a stranger's bed with a machete. What is with the machetes? And then whispering, I love you. He was shot dead Thursday because guns save lives after breaking into a stranger's house, getting into bed with a homeowner and whispering, I love you, while wielding the machete. The victim was asleep in an apartment attached to his home in Fruitville, Florida, when the whole thing happened. He woke up and this guy was laying right next to him with a machete. Now, they have not identified the machete-wielding assailant, but when the victim woke up, that's what the guy was whispering to him. And he goes, he called 911 and he said, quote, I have an intruder that broke into my house and he's got a damn machete and he's a little whacked. And he goes, he's telling me, saying, I love you. I'm weirded out. He's got a machete. So they said that the home invader also was trying to sharpen the blade with a baseball bat. And after calling for help, the homeowner fled the property. The deputies did shoot the suspect because the guy was not, he charged at the deputies and was trying to cut their hands off. So that's how you're going to get shot by a cop, is if you charge at a cop trying to kill a cop with a machete, you're going to get shot. So anyway, the deputy that was wounded is going to have surgery on their hand. They said it wasn't life-threatening, but they were pretty critical. Apparently, he might lose a couple of fingers. That's wild. A shirtless Florida man with Wendy's beef was caught on camera robbing the restaurant. We talked about this, but now more is out about it. This was at a Wendy's last week when a man bum-rushed into the restaurant using his fingers as makeshift guns. I have a couple of different stories on this. He was shirtless. And they said they have a no shirt, no service rule. And then he jumped on the table, waved his finger guns again. He's 5'5", and he's 200 pounds. And I don't know how this guy got away, but he did. And they're actually searching for him. So if you know a 5'5", 200-pound guy that likes to run around shirtless at Wendy's with finger guns, then, you need to call Heartland Crime Stoppers. So crazy. Florida man tells deputies, these aren't my pants. After they did a search and found all kinds of drugs on him, Myrick Hamilton, 47, was arrested on two drug charges in Santa Rosa. While they were searching his shorts, they found all kinds of stuff like crystal meth. They found all kinds. And he said, oh, wait, these aren't my pants that he was wearing. Okay, sure.
Grew up in Texas, and I don't know if you've heard, but the state of Texas is attempting to shut down a Catholic charity on the border with Mexico that offers undocumented migrants humanitarian assistance. What do you think of that?
That is madness, sheer madness. To close the border and leave them there, that is madness. The migrant has to be received. Thereafter, you see how you're going to deal with them. Maybe you have to send them back. I don't know. But each case ought to be considered humanely, right?
So that's the Pope being asked about the entity. And I've been down to the border, and I've actually talked with that organization down at the border. And they are in violation of law because it's not about assisting refugees. It's about assisting people in bypassing the proper and legal way to enter the country. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of the second hour. You can listen coast to coast to the radio program. You can also watch the simulcast everywhere that you can stream it, including X, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, and Channel 347 DirecTV. Let me tell you something about first off, the Catholic charities down there. Like I've said, I've been down there. I've had some harsh words publicly with some of the people down there because I saw exactly what was happening. There are people who are just brought in that are not seeking refugee status. They're not refugees. They just want a fast track to enter. And they are processed by that group, and they claim to do it under good Christian charity, but it's behind the veneer of good Christian charity that lawlessness is taking place. And I think that when you're misrepresenting something, you're lying about it, and that is a sin. So don't operate sinfully and then say that you're being the hands and feet of God, because that's not correct. Number two, I've also been to the Vatican, and I had to go through a bunch of security to get into the Vatican. He thinks it's madness, the Pope, to enter into a country lawfully. He thinks it's madness. I went to the Vatican last year. I had to go through an x-ray scan. What is it? The x-ray machine. I had to stick my stuff through an x-ray machine. I had to go through, I don't know how many security checkpoints to get in, because you can't just walk in to the Vatican. You can access some parts of the courtyard outside, but you can't just walk in to the Sistine Chapel. You can't just walk in to the Vatican. You can't just walk in to St. Peter's. It's not like that at all. That's pure madness, right? I mean, you shouldn't have to pay anything. You shouldn't have to purchase a ticket. You shouldn't have to do anything like that. And you should be able to just walk in, right? Do whatever you want. Stay however long you want. Madness. I also had to keep my shoulders covered, and I could not have any attire above the knee, whether it's a dress or a skirt or pants or anything. The same goes for men. Men were not allowed to wear hats in certain parts of the Vatican. And they had to keep, if they had tattoos, they had to keep them entirely covered. I watched one man be turned away at a security checkpoint because he had tattoos visible on his forearm. And I watched another woman be stopped at a checkpoint because they didn't think her shawl was going to adequately cover her shoulders. Pure madness, right? Just madness. You should let the migrants come, right? You should let the people go to God where they seek him, right, Pope? I mean, I'm just saying, if you're going to keep consistency, I just think for the sake of consistency, maybe we should be consistent. So I'm just curious about that. Why is there, you know, if it's madness to expect people to enter legally at the southern border. And again, I've had the benefit of being at both of these places. I've literally been at the Catholic Charities down in McAllen, Texas. I've literally been at their processing facilities down in McAllen, Texas. I've literally argued with a nun down in McAllen, Texas, who is with Catholic Charities. And then I argued with one of their assistants on Twitter some years ago, who is working with Catholic Charities. I watched as people were brought in. I know that some of those people there have relationships with coyotes because they're able to get people in and be able to get tipped off, and they know where to go even before Border Patrol does. And you're going to sit here and tell me that that's somehow godly because you're assisting the criminal activity of the cartel? You think that you're operating as the hands and feet of God? Seriously? You're enriching the cartel while you're simultaneously finger wagging at all of the Americans who sit slack jawed in shock that you're actually assisting a criminal entity in the name of Jesus? Seriously? Get behind me, Satan. This is wild. That's madness. I've seen this in my own church. Had a great sermon this past Sunday, sitting in my church. A great sermon about, you know, making sure that if you are really trying to modify your life and live for the better, that you're really going to commit to it. And then at the end, they have people come up. And I'm sure that they have the best of intentions. But then at some point, I stopped being generous about that. I'll explain. They had people come up and they were saying, oh, well, we have this program that we're doing now for people who are coming up at the southern border and that are refugees, and we want to help them. I'm like, why are you doing that? We have like a whole system for that process, the refugee process here in the United States. And if they're going about it the right way, they don't have to rely on all of these other extra groups. So I was immediately curious, like, what do you mean you have this whole thing that you're going to help people coming in across the border as refugees? Because not everyone's a refugee. In fact, the vast majority are not. Like the overwhelming majority are not. Just like the overwhelming majority are not asylees. But the way that it was put in the context following the sermon was that somehow you are not being the best you that you could be as a person of faith unless you were assisting lawlessness. As though somehow expecting to give to Caesar what is Caesar and give to God what is God's is somehow a sin now. I love how we're rewriting scripture. And I sat there in the pew, and every now and then I hear something, and I get very critical because I'm one of the people that I do really rely on spiritual leanings to keep me in and faith to keep me on the straight and narrow, because I am a brawlsome very confrontational person by nature. A lot of fun and very nice. But I really, really have to seek the Lord's guiding hand. And I'm sitting there in church and I'm listening to this and I just kind of fidget a little bit. I'm like, why is this being presented this way? I think that if you're going to be a shepherd, then you have the additional responsibility of making sure that you get these things correct. You don't get a pass because you're a shepherd. In fact, you should know, if you're going to present this as a policy in the church, then you need to be well educated on it. And I've talked to Border Patrol. I've been to the border. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to all these people and covered this and been down there and seen things and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm telling you that the vast majority of it, it's not asylees and it's not refugees. It's people that are exploiting weak and porous southern border. And the cartels are getting rich off it. And I find it incredibly ironic that the people who are out there finger wagging and claiming that they care so much about the welfare of these other people that are simply trying to find a better way of life are the very people that are doing the most to enrich the cartels that makes their lives a living hell in the first place. They are the ones who are making sure those cartels get their checks for bringing people across the border. They are the ones who are making sure that the cartels get their checks for bringing in fentanyl and drugs. They are the ones who make sure that the cartels are operating because they go and try to tell people that expecting a lawful, organized, non-chaotic entry into the United States is somehow sinful and that you are not doing your duty as a Christian. I get really tired of hearing about that. I don't know about y'all, but I get real tired of it. And to hear this Pope say it, I'm not a fan of this Pope. I'm not Catholic, but I'm not a moron, and I'm not a fan of this Pope. I like that Ratzinger guy. To say that this is madness, well, you can't leave people there. Well, what are you doing in these countries to restart a spiritual resurgence that gets them living right and gets their leaders acting right and doing their due diligence to their people? Because it is not the responsibility of us and our leaders to make sure that they and their leaders do their job. And if you're going to be the head of the church and be the head of the spiritual body of that country, then that's your job. Where are you in that effort? It's our partners that help bring you free radio. It's our friends over at Keltec, the Sub 2K. And this is the third generation, not the Gen 3. It's been shipping now. It's a 9mm carbine, and it's easy to store, easy to deploy, super accurate, and it's fun on the range. It's a, like I said, 9mm carbine. Previously, with the other iterations, you had to take your optics off, but you do not with the Gen 3 version. No more attaching and reattaching your favorite optics, because with a simple twist and fold motion of that patent-pending rotating forend, the whole thing folds in half, optics and all. It accepts Glock mags, Glock 19s, fit flush, Glock 17, and stick mags with the mag going past the grip, all fits. And redesigned trigger mechanics, lightened 5-pound pull. The action's been updated, easier to rack. The internal buffer means softer recoil. It's just a great carbine for the whole family. And it's made right in America, family-owned, Florida-based, values at their best. To learn more about Keltec Sub 2K Gen 3, visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's KeltecWeapons.com. And tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Man, I hate bureaucracy. So I don't do yoga, but yoga teachers are threatening legal action in San Diego because they had park rangers that shut down their beachside classes. Now, what did y'all think you were voting for this whole time, like in California? You want big government. You want a lot of bureaucratic restrictions. This is the stuff that you get, right? So instructors, they say that because the city has banned free beachside classes, they want vendor laws. They have vendor laws. So you have to pay a fee because they want that tax money. They want the fee money. They want all that stuff from it. And so they said, you can't be exempt. And yoga classes, doesn't matter if you're a donation or not, they're not exempt. So they're suing for that. Low testosterone in men is linked to an early death. This is something that I think they've known about for a long time. It was a university study, and they looked at, it was University of Western Australia. They looked at 11 high-quality studies and meta-analysis looking at the effects of testosterone on lifespan. And they followed men for about 5 years and found that participants with the lower T levels were likely to die earlier. I've heard of this before, though. Heart disease is still the leading cause of death in men globally. But they said that a lot of this, though, there's a lot of stuff that's related to testosterone. They're still studying it, but they said that we've known that low T numbers are really damaging to men. So, and that explains why betas die early Anyway, Diddy, they said, can't be prosecuted over a 2016 video, says the LADA. Now they go, here's why, in a really poorly written headline, which they bury it 5,000 graphs deep. They're talking about the statute of limitations and stuff, and they said that it's beyond that. He'd made a video. I don't care about any of this. Everybody knows he's trash. I don't care. I don't even follow this stuff, but apparently he made a video coming out and saying that he was messed up and he's sorry he did it, blah, 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 blah. I stopped caring. Zombie second mortgages are coming to life, threatening thousands of people's homes. Sounds like a horror film, but it's true. They said that the second mortgages, a lot of people taking second mortgages out. And after the housing crash in 2008, millions of people were asking for modifications. Remember, they were saying, oh, the second mortgage, that can be forgiven as part of your modification. So this is a big thing that's happening to tons of homeowners. And it really is on the there's a huge number of it on the Eastern Seaboard, which I think is kind of interesting. That's a whole other deep dive, I think. Let's see. The human brain has been shrinking and nobody knows why. It's because our society is stupid is why. I think it's because our society is stupid and we are living in an idiocracy. But there have been studies on this where they said the human brain in the 6 million years since our species apparently shared a common ancestor, that it expanded and now our brains are shrinking. I blame bad music and communism and just a horrible society. AI chatbot has finally acknowledged that AI could actually cause the downfall of humanity today. And duh. Can we just like hit in right now? Can we just let's just check in. I want to cite this. Audio soundbite 18. So Elise Stefanik was on with Shannon Bream. Now, let me tell you something. I've known Shannon Bream is one of the most innocuous people in all of broadcasting. And I don't mean that as like a slight on her character. She's a very good reporter. She's usually like a SCOTUS reporter. And that's how she really got started. And she's a very even keeled, very kind person. She's a devout Christian. And I think that she does a better job at demonstrating her faith in the public eye than most of the people in the industry. And so I have a lot of good things to say about her. She's not a partisan. She's not super zealous. I mean, obviously, she's a conservative. I mean, clearly she's got, you know, she doesn't lie to you about that. But she's not a zealot. And she wants to do her job because she feels she's one of the very few people, I think, that's in broadcasting that in terms of journalism, I work in commentary. So obviously I'm going to tell you that I'm biased. She's got biases overall in terms of ideology, but she also wants to make sure that, you know, you get the news of the story and she's not going to mix her opinions into it beyond she's a conservative. So anyway, I was really shocked by this audio soundbite. And Elise Stefanik, I got to say, Elise Stefanik was not called on something that isn't known. Elise Stefanik, I think in the early days of her campaign, she was not a big Trump ally. She wasn't. And this isn't anything that anybody's making up. This is not anything that is new. People have comments that live out on the public record. You know, she has said stuff before. She's kind of a moderate. She's a moderate. Let's just say she's a moderate. I remember when she first started coming onto the scene, and this was back in like 2020, and 2021, when she was, trying to replace Liz Cheney as the, House GOP conference chair. And it was then that she was really turning towards being a Trump ally. But I got to tell you, back in 2015, she was not. She criticized him over NATO. And I actually talked about that on air because my point was you can't simultaneously accuse him of gutting NATO when he is expanding it, regardless of what your position is on NATO. And I wasn't being mean, but hers was one of the comments from people on the right that I had included in a collection of comments where I'm like, this isn't actually representative of what he's doing, of what he is saying. She was a critic, and a lot of this happened too at the time after his election with Angela Merkel and all of that stuff. The border wall, his remarks about immigration and some things like that. She didn't endorse a candidate in the 2016 primary, and she was critical of him. She was, and this was back in 2015, 2016. This is a fact. This isn't a lie. And I'm fine with people changing their minds on things. And I'm also fine with people, as everyone should be. If you want to assume and be cautious about somebody without no record and they prove you wrong and they do well, that's a great thing. Can we all agree with that? Or are we all acting like that's a bad thing because we're trying to keep score? I don't understand what some people's priorities are anymore. The reason I say this up is because I was really shocked by her tone here with Shannon Bream. This is audio soundbite 18. Listen to this.
Question is when, more importantly, why did you change your mind about President Trump?
Well, Shannon, it's a disgrace that you would quote the New York Times with nameless, faceless,
but they're quoting
false
your
sources.
Friend, so I'm giving you a chance to respond to
that. Shannon, they're not quoting my friends. Those names are not included because they are false smears. I was attacked.
To be fair, there are a number of names.
Shannon, there are a number of names of people who are quoted in the article. Shannon, let me
people
correct
can read
you.
It for themselves.
This is a false smear, and let me tell you a fact, Shannon. In 2016, I was attacked as the only elected Republican from the Northeast who voted for President Trump. Democrats spent hundreds of thousands of dollars attacking me for that fact. So to say that I didn't support him is just false. I have been proud to be one of the strongest supporters, going back to when he ran for 2016, which was when it was my first reelection to the House.
Okay, so it's not nameless, baseless stuff. The New York Times is quoting, like, it was an interview that she had given. It was a radio station interview that she gave in 2015 in New York, and they're quoting the interview. So it's not like what she said in the interview. It's not like a nameless, faceless source. It is an actual interview that she gave with her own mouth in 2015. Now, I'm not saying this to be like, I don't want people to be purists with this stuff. I hate that. But I think that's a legitimate question. And I don't think that Bream was asking that to try to get at her. Bream was asking that as a way to say, this is a great opportunity. This is my interpretation of it. This is a great opportunity for you to evangelize why you changed and what made you think differently as a way to reach out to those voters who may not be all the way on board because he needs every vote going into November. Agreed? Why? I thought that the way that Stefanik reacted to that was completely over the top. I thought it was unprofessional. And I have bitched about media bias longer than this chick has been in office. And I'm just going to say that there's media bias and then there's not media bias. And saying that something is media bias when it isn't actually does a disservice to the hard work that a lot of us have done over the past couple of decades against media bias. Award-winning work. So I don't think that that was fair. And I don't think it was accurate. And I think that it made a lot of smoke over a very small fire. And she wasn't asking her that to get at her for something. I mean, all I know is that there are a group of independent voters out there that are trying to figure out. We got two dudes that we're looking at. This is what these independents are thinking. They got two dudes that they're looking at. And they're trying to figure out which dude they want to go through. Although I honestly, I'm like, they both have held office. Really, is it a comparison? But I digress. It is great. It's a great tool of political witness to be able to explain to people why you changed your position and what did it. And she messed up that opportunity. That's a bad strategist. You messed up that opportunity to explain it because you got upset over not a fake article. It quoted an interview you gave to a New York radio station in 2015 that's still available online. So I don't know where this, just because the New York Times cited an interview you did doesn't mean that it's false. Not everything is. And I just thought that was ridiculous. And I didn't think it made her look good. And Bream is not one of the people that you, Bream is not an enemy. So I don't know. I can't stand when I see stuff like that. And it also signaled to me that there's still a lot of the purism enforcement that needs to stop. I feel like the people that are enforcing purity tests are commie plants who don't want to win. You either want to win or you don't. And if you're driving away votes, you're a communist and you should be ostracized. That's just how I look at it. But that was ridiculous. I thought her reaction was ridiculous.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.